I like best, so I have four titles. How's that? You ever hear that? So you pick whichever one you like the best. The way to live. The way to mature. The way to be like Christ. Or the way to grow. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. How to grow. Spiritual growth includes these four things. Increasing in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word. As we grow as a Christian, we ought to be understanding and have a greater knowledge of God's Word. Number two, decreasing in your frequency and severity of sin. Remember, we're not going to be sinless, but we should sin less. Okay? As we grow, that should be happening in our lives. We should be sinning less, and we should be becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, increasing in your practice of Christ-like qualities. That's what we want to happen. What does it say in Ephesians? That we'll grow up into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And so, again, as even we mentioned in Sunday school, I am not to compare myself with anybody here. I'm to compare myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the measure. Okay? And so we ought to be increasing in our Christ-likeness. Number four, increasing in your faith and trust in God. We ought to be learning as we're growing to have a greater faith and trust in God. In summary, spiritual growth is becoming more like Jesus Christ. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. We'll read that, and then we'll pray and give you the message this morning. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. May you bless the reading of your word to our hearts and lives. And Father, may we make much of your word each and every day. Help us, Father, to grow spiritually, to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I love you and ask for your help now today in Jesus' name. Amen. My first point is guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul says here in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk means, it's a figurative expression here, to live in. And that's what verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Also has the idea to follow as a companion. We're to follow the Holy Spirit, to be occupied with. When he says, "This I say," then the Greek verb has the idea to say and to keep on saying. Paul's saying, walk in the Spirit. I repeat that. Walk in the Spirit. I'm going to keep saying that. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And walk in the Spirit here means to continue to walk in the Spirit. We need to continue to do this. Now, we find the next verse there, that these two are contrary the one to the other. So they're all the time opposed, all the time battling. But thankfully, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in them. Now, it's funny that God should have to remind us of that. But he says in one place, "Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" In Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Verse 8 says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." When you're walking in the flesh, or if in this case, you don't have the Spirit, you walk in the flesh, it's impossible to please God. Verse 9 says this, "But ye are not in the flesh." Now he's speaking to Christians. If you and I are saved, we are not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So the point is this. Paul's saying, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We understand that as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. He's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always there. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" This means, and "ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He says, this means that every time we are confronted with the lust of the flesh, we are not to fulfill the flesh if we are walking in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean, this idea to walk in the Spirit? Well, it's to follow the Spirit, to be occupied with. So I need to, every moment of my life, be aware that the Holy Spirit lives within me, and I have to walk after him and follow him. Okay? Hope you get that. We'll get into this a little bit more, but Ephesians 5:18 says this, "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Filled here means to be completely influenced. Somebody once explained it to me this way. The filling of the Spirit, we already have all of the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He's complete in us. But the idea to be filled with the Spirit means to be influenced or controlled by the Spirit. And he uses an interesting term here, "and be not drunk with wine." What happens when somebody is under the influence of alcohol or drugs? We call that they're under the influence, right? Well, God wants us to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, not under the influence of anything else. Okay? So we need to be walking in the Spirit, influenced by the Holy Spirit. We're to be filled, completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, in order to do that, we have to be aware of that and that he's in our lives. Okay? Now, let me see here. Note according to verse 7, these two are, the flesh and the Spirit are fighting and are complete opposite. In other words, you cannot walk in the Spirit and in the flesh at the same time. It's impossible. You're either walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. And so when I do what I want to do, guess what I'm doing? I'm walking in the flesh, right? But if when I'm doing what God wants me to do, what the Word of God tells me to do, or what the Holy Spirit of God tells me to do, or what Jesus Christ did, then I'm walking in the Spirit. Okay, so I've got to ask questions. And I'm trying to practice this, and I don't always walk in the Spirit. Sometimes I walk in the flesh. Just ask my wife. Just ask some of you. You can say, "I know sometimes, Pastor Terry, when you're walking in the flesh." Yeah. And we all do that because there's a constant battle. And God wants us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It says in 2 Corinthians... to walk or live in the Spirit is to be in a continual process of change. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Realize that the Lord and the Holy Spirit are one." Listen to this. Let me make sure I get my notes here right. It says, "But we all..." Versus verse 18. Sorry about that. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Where do we behold the glory of the Lord? Well, 1 Corinthians 3:13, verse 12 says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." What's that speaking about? Where do I behold the glory of the Lord? Where's this glass that I am to look into? Well, we find it in James 1:23 through 25. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," what's this? It's like a mirror. This is a glass. Okay? "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This continual process of change will happen as we behold the glory of the Lord in his word and walk in the Spirit. By the way, this is a spiritual book. It says in John 6:33, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." We're going to get to the next point. But again, I hope you're with me so far. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And God is going to use this spiritual book to transform our lives. Okay? Galatians 5:18 says, "But if you be led of the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit guide you, influence you in your decisions." We see this passage of Scripture two ways. One way is to walk in the Spirit, and one way is to walk in the flesh. Both are at work in us. Verse 19 tells us about the works of the flesh. Now, we're not going to go over them, okay? Because that's not what I want to concentrate on today. However, Paul uses a different word when he talked to them about this, the fruit of the Spirit, and not the works of the Spirit. Why did Paul do that? Paul uses here, and by the way, God is doing it. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He calls the works of the flesh, but he calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's the really where I want us to really concentrate on this morning. This is what I want us to get. The fruit of the Spirit, he uses a word that is botanical in nature. Why did he do that? Why didn't he call it the traits or the character of the Spirit? Why did he call it the fruit? Well, there's four things that we can learn about this. We're not only to be guided by the Holy Spirit, we're to be growing by the Holy Spirit. There's four things about growth, spiritual growth. Something that grows, such as a tree or a plant, is what we would call botanical. Okay? For instance, I wanted to do it, but I didn't. I wanted to have a short video clip up here this morning that's about a minute long. Somebody, you've heard of time-lapse cameras. Somebody who will take constant pictures over a long period of time and then speed it all up. Well, they did that for a tree. By the way, do trees take a long time to grow? They do, don't they? And can you see them grow? Like if I went out and planted a tree today, and then I went out tomorrow, would I see any growth? No. Paul is specifically using this word fruit, or a botanical word, to illustrate four things. First of all, spiritual growth is slow. You can't see growth by watching it, but you can see it over a period of time. The process of practical sanctification, which is being set apart like Jesus Christ, is slow and gradual. That video clip, they showed a tree 5 years' time. That's a lot of time, right? And they showed how little it was, and they sped it up, and you could see it gradually growing. Now, you could do that over 5 years' time, but you can't see that from day to day, can you? The point is this. God wants us to be growing, but we have to remember something. It's very slow and gradual. Okay? Now, does every tree grow at the same speed? No. Does every Christian grow at the same speed? We've heard of some people, they get saved, and I mean, they start growing, leaps and bounds, and you can see changes over time. This is to be an encouragement to you and I. I want to ask yourself this question. Am I more like Christ today than I was, say, 3 years ago? I hope you can say in the affirmative, yeah. I can see a little bit of growth. It's slow, it's gradual, but it's there. Not only is spiritual growth slow and gradual, it is sure. It's inevitable. If you're a Christian, you are going to grow spiritually. Right? I'm going to ask you something. If you have a tree and over 5 years of time, it doesn't grow any, what do you think's wrong with it? It's probably not getting nourishment. And if something's not growing, it usually what happens to it? It dies. I asked you a question this morning. As a Christian, are you supposed to be growing? And how does that growth take place? Very slowly, very gradually, but very surely. Let's look at Ephesians 3, and you can hold your place in here, but let's look at Ephesians 3:14. We're going to read a few verses here. At the heading on top of this, it says, praying for the Ephesians. Paul is praying for them, and this is what he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You see, the power that works in us is the Holy Spirit. Okay? You and I cannot grow anything. God has to do that. And I want you to know, even though when the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are going to grow slowly and gradually, but surely it's going to happen. Okay, because the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is working in us. It's at work in us. If it's not, Romans says, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of His. So if there's no growth, you ought to ask yourself, why isn't there any growth? Well, there's only two reasons. Either you're not saved, or you're not getting spiritual nourishment, and you're not growing. I still remember years and years ago, somebody said they wanted an artist, a Christian artist, to draw for them a grown man in shorts and a t-shirt, and he's laying in a baby bassinet, and his legs are sticking out, all these hairy legs and so forth. And he said, that's a picture of a Christian who is grown physically but not spiritually, a baby Christian. Listen, God wants us to be growing. It's going to happen. It's sure if the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we'll get to the point of how it happens. Let's look at Colossians 1:25. Colossians 1:25. It says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Okay? Paul's saying he's striving to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, that's growth. Okay? That's what it would be. And he says, and he's doing this according to which worketh in me mightily. It's the Holy Spirit of God that works in Paul mightily. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that is working in you and me. It's slow, gradual, it's sure. Galatians 3:3 says, are ye so foolish? Do you continue to be without understanding? He's saying here, having begun in the Spirit, you got your start in the Christian life, he's saying there. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Meaning to carry out to completion. Paul is asking if they can now change, grow, or be made perfect by means of the flesh. Can we answer that? No. You can't. John 6:63 said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If you are not growing spiritually, I submit there's something wrong. All right. It's slow, it's sure. Spiritual growth is spiritual, it's not physical. It's internal, it's mystical. And the word mystical means it's sacred, obscure, or secret, remote, or hidden from comprehension. You and I can't see the Holy Spirit, can we? In fact, many times we live our life as if we don't know he's there. But the Holy Spirit is there, and he's working in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15 and also verse 17, Paul says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit? And then he says in Colossians 1:27, which you read already, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Whereunto also I labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul is teaching a real union here and oneness between the believer and Christ that is formed at salvation, and that Christ is literally working in us. This is a spiritual reality. Hard for us to see it. You know, we don't know how things grow. We can look at something and say, I don't know how that happens. Now we understand that it gets nourishment from the ground and you water it and it needs that. And it needs sunlight and so forth to grow. But it's very mystical. And in that little seed, as you plant a seed, everything's right in there, isn't it? Okay? Now God's planted in us his Holy Spirit. We may not see it or feel it, but it's true. It's spiritual, it's mystical, it's internal, it's obscure. Now, so far we learned three things here this morning. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We're to walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do we do that? Well, we need to grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit says the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay, slow is growth. Growth is slow. It's sure. It's spiritual. And the fourth thing, it is singular. Now, what do I mean by that? Why did Paul use the word fruit and not fruits? Because these fruit of the Spirit are interconnected. Here's what we mean by that. They go together. You cannot have one without the other. Real love, real peace, real joy comes from the Holy Spirit and is connected or linked together. They are dependent upon each other. Let me explain. Temperance. What's temperance? It's self-control. The reason you get addicted to things is because you don't have real joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. our joy that comes from the Holy Spirit ought to keep us from getting addicted to things that are sinful. Let me give you another illustration, another thing. The reason you don't have more long-suffering towards your brother or sister in the Lord is because you don't have love like unto the Lord. Did you get that? What is long-suffering? It's putting up with one another. And the reason you don't have it is because you don't have the real love of the Holy Spirit. Now, understand, you can have, we're to grow in these areas, right? So as we're growing, we're to have more love, we're to have more self-control, more temperance, we're to have more long-suffering, but they all work together, okay? Give you another one. The reason you don't have real peace is because you don't have faith. Now, I'm not talking about saving faith here. Faith, the idea of confidence, certainty, and trust. By the way, if you have faith that comes from the Holy Spirit, guess what else you have? Peace. You got it? Because, by the way, God is in control. Do you believe that? I listened to a very good message this past week, and I actually had taught this because some years ago, somebody gave me a pamphlet, and they were trying to convince me that Calvinism is right. And so I read it, and I thought, wow, this is really good. This helps me understand a little better. Didn't cause me to believe in Calvinism. Don't get worried. But what I found out is the Bible is both. He said, what do you mean, Pastor Terry? Do you realize that God is sovereign and God gives free will? How can that be? Like this pastor said this week as I listened to that, the reason is this. We think it's got to be one or the other, and it's neither. It's both. God is both sovereign and he gives us free will. And that's why there's so much argument over this. Because you can read your Bible and you can find verses of Scripture that say, wow, God's in control. He calls who He wants to call. And then you read your Bible and it says, whosoever will. Now, how do you put those two together? Well, first of all, our mind can't comprehend that. Because God is infinite and our minds are finite. We just need to learn to trust God. Okay? Here's the thing. Lost my thought. But anyway, they're both in the Scriptures there. And he, as this pamphlet, there's a great somebody who, scientists or something like that, they to this day, they still haven't figured it out. Light, if I understand correctly, works in waves and sometimes in material. And it's like, how do you do that? Now, I don't understand all that. I'm not a scientist. But the part of it is you can't. They haven't figured it out. Can you figure God out? Remember last week I talked about this, and I don't know if I explained it quite right, but think about how big God is. He's unlimited. When we think of our universe, do you realize our universe is, our galaxy that we live in is huge, but it's actually small compared to the entire universe? Like this one fella said, we think of measuring things in miles. But in order to measure the universe, you have to measure it in light years. Now, how far does light travel in 1 second? Randy? 186,000 miles per second. Now, they don't measure the universe in light seconds. They measure the universe in light years. Let that sink in. And some of these galaxies are thousands of light years away. Light years. You and I can't even compute that. Our God is infinite, and you know what? We're not going to understand everything about God, but we need to do this. We need to have faith, confidence, and trust in God, And when we do, we'll have peace. You see how that fruit of the Spirit is interconnected? Okay? Fruit grows slow. Fruit grows sure. It's mystical, it's spiritual, if you will, and it's singular. Now, I said the reason you don't have more long-suffering towards your brother or sister in the Lord is because you don't have love like unto God's love. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 13, familiar verse to you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity or love suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's real love. All right, now we got this. Okay? Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of flesh. That means to be occupied. Follow the Spirit. Ask questions. What do you want me to do? I try to practice it. Who do you want me to call today? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to witness to? By the way, pray for me. On Wednesday, there's a man coming here to try to sell me something. I don't intend on buying. But by God's grace, I intend on witnessing to him. Okay, it's a great opportunity. I ask God, who do you want me to witness to? And God brings somebody to me. Okay? I believe that God will work. And so pray about those things. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. Now, what is the instrument of this spiritual growth? I think you can answer that, right? I've been trying to pound this home over and over and over as I've learned it. The instrument of spiritual growth is right here. Okay? And there's verses of Scripture that will teach us this. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What's he saying? What's bread? It's food. If you don't eat, you will die. If you don't drink, you'll die faster. But if you don't eat, eventually you will die. What God is saying in his word is this. If you don't get spiritual nourishment, you will die spiritually. You will not grow. Okay? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is sanctification? It's spiritual growth. Listen, we mentioned this in Sunday school. Sanctification, there's three sanctifications. Positional sanctification. When I got saved, I'm sanctified. Practical sanctification. That's right now. I'm to be growing more like Jesus Christ. I'm to be becoming more like him. I'm to be becoming set apart unto him. Practical sanctification. And then perfect sanctification. When I get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, who are we going to be like? We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like that. Isn't that wonderful? But right now, we're to be sanctified. We're to be progressive sanctification. Slowly, gradually, surely, spiritually, singularly. Just as a plant needs food and nourishment to grow, we need food and nourishment to grow. Paul tells Timothy this. Now, Timothy is a young man that Paul apparently led to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a minister. He's a pastor. And Paul says this in 1 Timothy 4:16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, okay, Paul's giving him some things to talk about. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that's great, he says. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Where do you get that nourishment? The words of faith, right here. This is spiritual food to your soul. This is the instrument that's going to cause that slow growth in your life. It's going to happen. But like we said in Sunday school, I cannot just read the Bible and say, okay, great, I got my spiritual food this morning, I can go my way and forget about it. No, he that looketh in and continueth therein. I gave an illustration this morning. I didn't read a whole lot this morning. I read two chapters of Galatians chapter 5. I was just kind of going over for my message a little bit. But I came across this. Now, if you were to ask me what all Galatians 5 and 6 is, I wouldn't be able to tell you everything. But here's what I can tell you, and this is what I tried to concentrate on this morning. It's found in verses 13 through 15. I gave three verses of Scripture that I want to really concentrate on. It says this, "For brethren, you have been called under liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Can we understand that? In other words, I'm free. I'm free from sin. My sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. I'm on my way to heaven. Great. It's all done. Finished. I can do whatever I want now. Is that what it means? No. I'm free, but I can't use that as an occasion to do whatever I want, to sin. God forbid, he says. He says in the rest of the verse, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, I can practice that if I think about it. How can I love my neighbor as myself? Well, you think about that. Concentrate on that a little bit. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." One word. Love my neighbor as myself. What's the human tendency? Is that natural for us? No, the natural is to fall back into the flesh and say, I love me. But God teaches me that I am to love you more than myself. And if I love you, I will fulfill the law. You know why? Because if I love you, would I steal from you? If I loved you, would I lie to you? No. You see, so love is the fulfilling of the law. So what I need to do as I read God's word is I need to give thought to that and think about that. I need to continue in that. All day long, I have to remind myself of that. I shared with you last week an illustration of a verse as I was reading, found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, I believe it is. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, I put that to memory just by giving thought to it. I want that to become a part of my life. By the way, is that like Christ? It is, because the next verses say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And he goes on. So if I esteem other better than myself, and I look not on my own things, but on the things of others, then I'm becoming like Jesus Christ. That's spiritual growth. Remember, the titles were three. How to mature, how to become like Christ, how to grow, how to live. That's the way we're to live. And that's why God says we've got to make much of this right here. We've got to read it, but not just say, oh, wow, I read through the Bible this year. No. But the Bible is becoming a part of me. I'm becoming like what it says to do in here. And if we'll do that, we'll be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Listen, we give a baby milk to grow. What is milk? It's nourishment for them. And God, I love the way he does that. He takes the human or the natural elements of things and gives a spiritual lesson. The spiritual lesson is this: If I want spiritual nourishment and I want to grow, I've got to partake of this. It's called the milk. It's also called, and we call it the meat of the word. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:14-17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What's Paul saying here? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did he learn them? He learned them from a child. It says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Paul's saying, continue in the things that you've learned, even as a child. What he's telling us is this: if you want to grow, you need to continue in the things that you've learned as you've read this. As we read this, we need to continue in that. We can't just say, oh, I read, praise the Lord, I read my Bible today, pat myself on the back, good boy. No. I've got to let the Word of God take root in my life. I've got to let it become a part of me. And as I do that, I'm going to grow. I'm going to produce, the Holy Spirit, I should say, is going to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. And if I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, if I have those things, I'm going to be growing up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. I'm going to become more like Him. Now, I'm not going to reach that until I get my perfect sanctification, which is in heaven, and you and I both. He says after that, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith within Christ. Now, listen to what he says, and this is the next verse. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. See, this is not man's word. This is God's word. And it's given by God's inspiration. Why did Paul put fruit and not traits? The Holy Spirit directed him to do that. The Holy Spirit knows and is teaching us that spiritual growth is a lot like a plant or a tree that grows. Okay? And I think it's amazing. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, he's writing that to Timothy, but is that for us too? Is it only for preachers? Or only pastors, ministers, or whatever? Are they the only ones that are supposed to be coming like Jesus Christ? No, God wants every one of us to become more like Jesus Christ. And it's going to happen through the Scripture. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Did you get that? Keep it. Continue in it. Bring forth fruit with patience. What's patience? It's very slow, isn't it? So, I'm going to end with this. That's from a parable of the sower and the seed. What does God say? I think this is a warning to us. Now, you've got to ask yourself this. I can't answer this for you. But he says, the seed, which is the Word of God, fell on different types of soil. Let me ask you, what kind of soil is your heart? Is it rocky soil, thorny soil, compacted soil, or is it good soil? You see, I may not have done the greatest job with this message, but I really believe this is very, very, very important for every one of us as Christians. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is working in us mightily. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to use the Word of God, we will grow. We will grow. It may be slow. It may be gradual. But it'll be sure. We may not be able to really see it. It's kind of an internal thing. It's a spiritual, mystical thing. And also, that fruit will be singular. They'll all go together. So you ask yourself this, why don't I get along with my brother and sister in the Lord better? You need to grow. You need to have more love. Why do I not have peace in my life? Because you need to have faith. They all interconnect. And folks, let me tell you, and I even need to do a better job. I am not saying I set the example, but this book right here, if we have the Holy Spirit, God will use His Word and we will grow spiritually. We'll become more like Jesus Christ. If we use it right, again, it's so very important. We need to continue in. We need to think about it. That's why we need to hide it in our hearts. If I hide God's Word in my heart, that I might not sin against Him. And so, you know, in the past, I've watched a lot of news and I've done a lot of different things. But I'm finding out there isn't anything more important for me as a Christian than to master this book and to get this Word of God into my heart and life and to become part of it. Listen, there are so many scriptures that teach this too. Psalm chapter 1 talks about His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate therein day and night. And what does it say He'll be like? A tree that groweth, and His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. That's not talking about material prosperity. That's not talking about money. That's talking about spiritual profit. You see, so it's very, very important we get this. Okay? I hope everybody gets that. I hope you make much of your Bible. Because you will not grow. Oh, yeah, you can get a message Sunday morning and that'll help you grow. You can get a message Wednesday night and it'll help you to grow. But if that's your attitude, you try that with eating. You try eating physical food as much as you eat spiritual food. Try eating one meal Sunday and one meal Wednesday and the rest of the week, nothing. See how well you do. I guarantee you wouldn't perform very well, would you? You'd be very weak and sickly. Is that why we as Christians sometimes are very weak and sickly? Listen, I watch the news from time to time. Why is our world the way it is? God doesn't blame it on the heathen, does He? He blames it on us. If we lived the way we were supposed to live, we'd make a huge difference in this world. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I hope the message made sense to you this morning. Maybe not all of it. Maybe you got the idea. I've got to read my Bible. Not just to say I read it, but I've got to read it so that it becomes a part of me. It's the only way to be like Jesus Christ, to live according to the Word of God. Maybe God spoke to your heart this morning. You look at your life over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. And there's no spiritual growth. You're still as mean and ornery and wicked. You have no control over any sin. You give in to every single temptation there is out there. Listen, you're either not saved or you're not in the Word of God. You're not getting spiritual nourishment. And so with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me have everybody stand to their feet this morning.